Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday night. Hope everybody is doing good. Everybody had a good weekend and whatnot. If not, you know, hopefully things turn around for you. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about, both in and outside the ring. We're going to start inside the ring with that Virgil Ortiz and Jose Ramirez card. Not much in the co-feature. Ortiz took care of business. And luckily, because we now know his next fight, and it is a banger. Definitely the best fight on that card. And that's saying something, because there's some pretty damn good fights on that card. We'll get into that. That L.A. card from, Saudi in L.A. Really shaped up, man, and we now have all the official fights. Sounds like Jared Anderson is getting in the mix, potentially, which is, I don't know how I feel about that just because of the time frame, but we'll figure that out. We'll talk it through. And then, you know, Jose Ramirez actually got into a brawl. What do you know, right? No, it was a tougher fight against Bartholomew. I thought it was a good fight. He won it clean. But yeah, I thought it was a good fight. Then, of course, Canelo Alvarez steps back in the ring versus Jaime Munguia, Amazon pay-per-view. Pretty interesting fight, man. You know, you have the youth versus the old lion, right? Can it pay off for him? You know, can Munguia pull off a big upset, and it would be a major upset. You know, we talk about Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, that being a big upset, which it was. This would be a huge upset. You know, if Munguia can kind of have a good, somewhat good first half of the fight, that second half, if he can keep that pace going, the activity, his, you know, chin's going to get tested. You never know. But the more technical, the more overall skilled, the guy who's been there, done that, obviously Canelo, that's a major advantage. And also, we'll talk Inoue and Nery too, because that is going to happen, you know, not necessarily the weekend. Well, and then, you know, I mean, shit, Ryan Garcia is on his victory tour. Good golly. Like I said, more details, the official details from that Saudi card in L.A., Oh, so Spence and Derek James, Errol Spence, Derek James suing each other. Sounds like obviously there's some money issues there. We'll see ultimately what happens in that one. But honestly, Spence against Charlo is now on the table. I'm not saying they're going to go right to it, but it's definitely on the table, which, you know, Spence was kind of down for it anyway. But now that, you know, he's not, you know, they're no longer in the same camp, it can actually happen. I was just thinking about that the other day. Anyway, we'll get into it in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope-A-Dope and download the show directly there if you don't want to. You can find this year podcast on Apple Podcasts, basically Deezer. Someone says they listened to it the other day. Basically, just Google it, right? Rope-a-dope radio while you're at it. Head over to the grueling truth.com, Eastside Boxing, and Phil Boxing. One more message from DirecTV Stream. It's playoff time. See those buckets and goals that will crown champions all on DirecTV Stream, plus save $30. Also, home field advantage on DirecTV Stream because it carries the most local MLB games. So play ball, limited for a limited time, $98.99 for the first 3 months, just for the sports pack in general on DirecTV. The first month of DirecTV sports pack is on us when you sign up. That's a savings of $14.99. Either way, choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. Just starting right at that entertainment plus the sports pack. 3 months, $84.98. Pretty damn good deal. Anyway, so obviously, like I said, not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the Virgil Ortiz fight, right? It ended pretty quickly. Ended pretty abruptly, I would have to say. You know, he came out, Ortiz did jabbing, left hook to the body, another left to the body. It was a wrap. It was a wrap. Tomas Delorme didn't really stand a chance going in, and boy, it didn't last long. So, as I mentioned, Virgil Ortiz, Tim Tszyu, excuse me, I'm yawning. It's been a long day. Tim Tszyu, I mean, this is a great matchup, man. I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, talk about bombs away. Who's going to be a little bit more patient, responsible? You know they're going to get in exchanges, but who's going to use their jab more? Who's going to look, you know, to kind of time shots, land the shorter punch, the more accurate punch, like I said? That thing, who cares that it's not the main event, but it should be the main event. No disrespect to Terrence Crawford. But, dude, that fight, I'm so excited for that. August, what is it, 2nd or August 3rd? I can't remember. But that card is really damn good, obviously. But that fight just does it for me in so many ways. I mean, that fight just lives up to it. That Stanonius fight, it is the 3rd. That Stanonius fight was something we were looking forward to, and it just never happened, right? And by the way, you know, about the weight, it was a contracted weight. Okay, I did see a fair amount of people saying, oh, he's over in weight. He's 155 and a half, and it was a contracted weight. So he wasn't over in weight. But he made, you know, quick work. He's now had 2 fights this year, quick work. At least he's had those training camps, you know, to be in good shape and whatnot. That helps. Obviously, Tim Tszyu, the more active fighter in recent time. But, man, like I said, I could do a whole show on that one. Also, Oscar Duarte against Jojo Diaz. I mean, you know, was it an early stoppage? Could you have said it was an early stoppage? Yeah, it felt like it, but the corner had the towel in his hand. He was about to throw in the white towel, so Duarte definitely landing the more telling blows. Oscar kind of fights in one gear. I saw multiple people say this too. And yeah, he kind of fights in one gear. It's pretty good gear, don't get me wrong, but he did his thing. He landed, what was it, 157 to 109. Outworked him 2566 to 336. They both landed at a nice clip, but, you know, JoJo's seen better days, obviously. And, you know, he hasn't won many fights lately. He's had a really rough run of late, you know, and that would have been a fight. You know, not trying to rip Duarte or nothing like that, but that would have been a fight that he needed to win, you know, to have any hope of saving his career leading to a big fight. You know, he is in gatekeeper mode. The outside of the ring distractions definitely catching up with him and have caught up with him. Maybe some of them haven't caught all the way up, if you know what I mean. But hopefully that it won't, if that means nothing happened. So, Duarte got the job done in that fight. Joseph Diaz Jr., man, there's not, like I said, he's gatekeeper mode now. He really is. But Duarte moves on. Good win for him, though. What was it, the 9th round, I believe, is a TKO? Like I said, when I first saw it, yeah, I could say it's a little early, but, you know, dude had literally his corner was about to throw the towel in or had it at least in his hand. So then on to the main event, Jose Ramirez in Bartholomew. This was a good fight, dude. I really enjoyed this fight. I thought this was, a spirited effort by both fighters, obviously. There was, Bartholomew, at times, he just, is on the ropes too many, for too long the stretches of time to win this fight, There was no way he was going to be able to, to win that fight. But he put up a good battle. I didn't really know what was left. But either way, right off the bat, Ramirez, first round, multiple body shots. And also some right hands to the head. And even a short uppercut. Really aggressive, right? Second round, he was throwing his jab. I thought he was landing his jab really well kind of throughout the fight, but especially in that round. More left hooks to the body. Added a few to the head, but he was definitely softening up that body. But third round came around, and early Ramirez was doing his thing. And a left hand to the head in some follow-up shots, a follow-up left, definitely had Ramirez buzzed, if not full-on hurt. Now, was it a punch-push type thing? Should it have been a knockdown when I first saw it? Didn't look like a knockdown. Certain angles kind of do look like he may have pushed him. So it was no knockdown either way. And by the way, if you say Jack Reese, who loves to get involved one way or another, if you say he didn't, make the correct call, okay, that's cool. But then again, he didn't make the correct call on taking a point for hitting him. He like threw two punches by Bartholomew when Ramirez was down. So, and he got caught again. Actually, Ramirez got up, caught him with a good shot. Bartholomew came back with another big left. I mean, that was freaking exciting. That was a good fight. And a lot of Ramirez's fights are, obviously. And then, was there... I never did get a complete exact information on this, but was it a short round or was the zone just having clock issues? I've been a little busy of late, so I kind of forgot to check on that, but either way, if you're just going by the clock, on the zone, it definitely was early. They stopped the round early, but I don't know if that's official. But Ramirez looked hurt going to his corner. Fourth round, two-way round. Could have went either way. Bartholomew, three or four straight lefts in a row, right around the midway mark. Ramirez working to the body early and late in that round. Couple of really nice left hooks to the head. And just a great two-way round. Like I said, could have been a 10-10 round. Definitely could have been a 10-10 round. Then, I pretty much think after this, for the most part anyway, Ramirez took over. He was really, combo punching. Like I said, at times landing the uppercut, a lot of times just hooks to the body and head, just being overall busier. A couple of nice straight left hands in the sixth round, though, by Bartholomew. And this is where especially, throughout the fight, of course, but this is where you really started to be on the ropes for just way too long a time. You know what I mean? Way too long. So, you know, it was like, well, he's surviving, you know, and also around this time is where the shots started adding up, you know, definitely started to add up. And it was like, okay, you know, this is getting kind of brutal a little, you know, a little bit anyway. Starting to add up by the time 7th to 8th round came around. Left hook to the body was a good shot by Ramirez in the 7th. But yeah, just too many times on the rope. And then from like the 9th to the 11th, I'd say, pretty much domination at that point. The 12th round, Bartholomew definitely had his moments, and he had these little moments in the last 4 rounds or whatever, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Ramirez, you know, like I said, steady with the jab. I think he landed 90-30 when it came to the body work. Overall, 255 to 112. So he doubled him up, threw 854 punches at a high rate, 230%. So, you know, a good performance, a sturdy performance. They are kind of talking about Ramirez next. Or Ramirez, well, if they're talking about Ramirez, he's going to be in the fight. Ramirez and Garcia. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, when you think of left hands, who do you think of? You know, you think of like, wow, interesting. And I got this message, nobody missed weight. Virgil was always scheduled. Oh, yeah, this is from Garcia Boxing. Nobody missed weight. Virgil was always scheduled at 156, Ramirez 142, and Duarte at 138. None of these title fights or, you know, none of them were title fights or eliminators, and some of the weights are because that's what the opponent wanted. So just to, you know, ultimately clarify that. And that happens a fair amount. But Golden Boy, Golden Boy's Eric Gomez was saying, this is from Boxing Scene, we're looking to sit down with Ryan Garcia in a couple of weeks. And Jose Ramirez's name is definitely going to come up. That is a possibility, kind of fight he wants. Now, would it be at a catch weight? You know what I mean? I'd assume it would. But, you know, maybe they do it at 147. Not totally sure. But, you know, I just, man, those left hands. You know what I mean? I mean, Ramirez, when he's on his jab and he's applying pressure and all that, he's good with distance. He's really good, like, up close. You know, like, he's a good fighter, man. He's above-average fighter. It's just, and sure, he could catch Ryan Garcia. You know what I mean? But I would definitely, not that I think it's a worthless fight or anything, but I would definitely favor that left hand. I mean, if he hurt him that many times, you know, Bartholomew, especially at this weight, isn't necessarily known for a bunch of power, right? But I don't know, man. I could see them going there. But we'll see how big of a, you know, how big of a fight it is, you know. And what else can they do? Shit, they may do the, you know, the Haney fight again. You never know. So, I don't know. We'll see. But either way, you know, beyond the 4th round, like first through 4, he definitely started pulling away. Also, Alinez and Esparza, too. That was a pretty good fight. You know, that aggression from Alinez. You know, definitely, like, I had her win in a clean decision. And I think that was that the Ring Magazine? Was that Lineal? But yeah, I you know, as far as it did have, should be mentioned, she did have some problem making weight. So the titles, you know, she lost at the scale. You know, just, someone actually sent me this too. She set a furious pace from the opening bell, landing 19 of 78 punches per round. compared to 13 to 47. And, you know, think about it. Two-minute round. Three-minute round, that equals 29 punches and 119 thrown. So when you're up 779 punches, almost landing 200 of them, and throwing the jab, both fighters were landing and throwing the jab, no doubt about it. I think that's what kind of hurt Esparza, because she was landing the jab more accurate, but she just couldn't keep up. And so if you're going to land about the same amount of jabs and then, the, you know, double you up on the power shots, that's probably going to be it. You know what I mean? So that was a really good performance. And you know, what was it? 98-92 as far as I don't know what to say about that one. But big win for Argentina was 96-94, I think 97-93. So, yeah, that was a good fight, too. I think it was, what was that, flyweight or something like that? That was a good fight. I definitely liked that fight. And that's about it from the card. John should be calling in here soon. He's got kind of a limited time frame, so we're going to try to get him in and, you know, do our thing with him. Pause. But that kind of sounded weird. And then, of course, we'll get into this Canelo Munguia stuff and talk a little bit about Inoue Nery as well. That Tokyo Dome is going to be just jam-packed, man. I mean, when you can do $20 million gates, that is something, especially in the smaller weight classes, dude. That makes it even more impressive. That really makes it more impressive. Let's see. There also is a Red Owl event, and I don't know if this is like an upper Midwest or a Midwest, but do you guys remember Red Owls? It's like a – nah, you probably don't. It's like a grocery store. It was a grocery store. Let's see. I believe, is it? I think it's Thursday. DAZN has a card. You may want to check it out. It's an unbeaten super middleweight fight. Unbeaten Besnina or whatever it is. He's that Quebec fighter. So that could be all right. But yeah, just keep a heads up for that. There might be something that pops off. Vasquez Bailey is the main event in that Red Owl event. That's the one that takes place. That's on Friday at DAZN as well. That's the one that's in Houston. Edward Vasquez and Daniel Bailey, Erdison Garcia and Malik Montgomery. We're seeing some of those. I kind of like those. And then yeah, that Inoue Nery is a got like a fair amount of good fights on it, man. You have Maloney and Takai, is that what it is? You have Inoue and Ishida. You have Inoue Nery, and then you have Akui Kawahara or something like that. I can't remember that name, but so it starts around I think four Eastern, maybe five Eastern. And, you know, with three championship fights, you know, before it, obviously it's going to take a little while there. So I'll probably just get up Monday like it's a normal Monday and then watch it, you know. That's probably what I'll do. So now you know my schedule. Now the undercard, it's kind of interesting because, you know, the pay-per-view undercard, the only one I'm really interested in as far as like, I wonder who's going to win, is that Stanonius and Maestre. They did meet, you know, in the amateurs. You know, Barrios and Figueroa are basically, in those fights against Maidana and Magdanello, you just hope that it's like entertaining. You know, entertaining, and then there's a knockout. You know, that's really what you're hoping for. And kind of lining up. Both of those are like WBC interims, right? So you're kind of hoping that lines up their next big fight, you know. Both of them have been out for a while, so can't really sell the undercard. Obviously there's a lot of money invested in the main event, Vito Milonecki is on the card against Ronald Cruz. I think that's a pretty good fight for him. And also William Skull and Hempfill. Kind of like that fight. Jesus Ramos is on there. He is against, he's going against Johan Gonzalez. And it's an all right fight. I think that'll be on the Amazon, you know, the free stuff, the prelims. That dude's a pretty good fighter, like, at that stage. He's got a lot of fights. He's got some power. I think he's, like, he has, like, 30-something wins. I think it's 33 or 34 and almost as many knockouts. Let me actually check. It's, like, one less. You know, he went the distance in a competitive fight against Kurbanov. He recently just had a 10-rounder with that Scram dude, that Guido. I think it's Guido Emanuel. Let me check, actually. Yes, 34-2, 33 knockouts. So he's a vet. He's a good fighter. You know, I'm not trying to sell it like, man, this could be great. But it's all right, you know. It's okay. It works. I liked his other opponent better, but I wouldn't sit there and say it's a bad fight by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, kind of like when it was announced, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say it's some great card or anything like that, but hopefully we just get entertainment. Hopefully, you know, one of these B-sides that are, you know, in the plus 1,000 and above or whatever, hopefully, you know, they can make some noise and kind of, you know, just kind of overachieve and make it a good fight, you know? That's kind of what I'm looking for. And then when I was talking about those other fights, the Red All, that Garcia Montgomery, let me see the odds on that. That's probably the closest one. Well, that'd have to be the closest one. Share it really quick. Yeah. So Garcia's plus 200 at the highest, and he's plus 170, plus 182. So that should be kind of interesting. Nishida and Emmanuel Rodriguez. Huh. Is that on the card? Because I see it on the boxing books here on Pro Boxing. God, I didn't know that. I don't know. It's not on. Weird. So yeah, maybe that's on a different card and I just wasn't paying attention. Weird. Okay, well, I don't know what's up with that. It's listed, but maybe that's off now. Because that's a good fight. I mean, that would be the closest fight on the whole card if it was on the card. Maybe is that on a different card and I'm just tripping? Let me see. Let me check the schedule real quick. Yeah, maybe I'm just tripping. I don't see it. Anyway, this is not good radio. It's not good podcast. So yeah, like I said, it's not, I'm not going to sit there and be like, dude, I cannot wait. And even that Maestre, I mean, he's a big underdog, but I have a little interest in that, you know. Nothing crazy, but I think that, I don't know, he could make a little bit of noise. So he should be calling in here soon. We'll just kind of buy time. Let me see here. Well, actually, maybe I should preview it. I'll preview it in the meantime. Yeah, I mean, obviously some of the keys to victory, right? If you go from the media side, the pros and cons and whatever, the pros, obviously, you know, the youth always can play a role. The stamina, with that stamina comes, you know, that activity. That's a big thing, that activity, that punch rate, right? You know, can he close the distance? Can he really get up close and kind of, you know, have his head in his chest type thing? And just at times try to overwhelm him? Chin. You know, he's got a pretty solid chin. He hasn't faced a bunch of power punchers. I wouldn't say Canelo's a huge puncher, but he definitely has power and plenty of pop at 168, especially when a guy's going to come to him. Obviously, he's got a lack of defense majorly. And that's where I think, you know, obviously keeping the head off center and all that. But the jab, you know, can you use your jab just to make him, you know, just to help you close the distance? I think that would be a fairly big deal, you know. Now, obviously, speaking of jab, Canelo definitely has that jab, and I think he'll use it a whole lot. I think he'll also, in spots, use lateral movement. I could also see this fight taking place kind of in the middle of the ring, maybe just circling. But a lot of that, he, speaking of chin, Canelo has a crazy chin, right? And then just that big fight experience. He's been there, done that. And as good as Munguia looked in his last fight, boxing is a what have you done for me lately, right? And he does have a lot of experience with a well over 44 fights, something like that. The Ryder fight, he looked really good in, but, you know, just the fight before against Derevyanchenko, I mean, he needed that body punch, knockdown. He needed that to win the fight. So, I don't know. Does it lie somewhere in between there? And also, what Derevyanchenko was able to do came from a lot of skill, and that kind of goes into not just jab and some lateral movement, but the counter-punching, right? The counter-punching, the timing, the overall skill level of Canelo, clearly superior, you know? And, you know, obviously we know Canelo is tough to beat on the scorecard, right? And so that's going to be hard. So, you know, you get into that scenario where that means you're going to have to, you know, hurt him. And he doesn't really get hurt much. I think the most time he was hurt, you know, the worst time he was hurt, it seemed, was against Canelo's brother, which I was at Mayweather-Mosley fight. And some people all of a sudden were like, wait, is that Miguel Cotto? When he got hurt up against the ropes. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just tough to win on the scorecards, as we know. Now, here's another thing. Will Munguia be effective when targeting the body? Can he attack the body, right? We know that that was an issue for Triple G in all the fights. Even if you thought he won the first one with Golovkin, some people even think he won the second one. I don't, but that's cool. First one, sure. I can give it that Golovkin. But it really didn't target the body at all. And there's a reason. You know, it's that counter punch. And that's where even a guy, speaking of chin, like Golovkin's got a great chin. So, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. It feels like the counter punch of Canelo would just kind of tame him at times. And then if you're not targeting your body enough, then you're kind of headhunting, and that kind of puts you down a path you don't really want to go, and it probably isn't a path you're going to win, you know? And it's probably a path you're going to get punched a lot, you know? So on one hand, attack the body. Maybe you need to get, like I said, close the distance all the way and really try to make it a firefight, the old phone booth fight, right? But Canelo knows that. He can move a little bit. Now, he is getting older, right? So, like I said, that second half of the fight, he probably won't be able to, you know, have that pace. Just a route, he's not going to be able to be as active, right? And when you have, if you are getting him to move a lot, well, then that's a little different. You know what I mean? That's a little different. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see. But I'll just go off mine now. I do like Canelo by decision. Now, could he TKO him or something where he's just, he gets knocked down, maybe he gets hurt to the body, but he's just swollen up and just getting beat up, you know? Is that a possibility? I think it is. I think it's a possibility. And, you know, Munguia, like I said, the last two opponents have been better, right? But he just made such a run against fights that just don't mean anything, you know? And he was on a good run, like Liam Smith and, you know, some good fighters. And then it kind of like after that Dennis Hogan, which, by the way, quote-unquote skilled fighter, trying to, you know, outboxing him and all that, it's like, I don't think he's really, I think he went on a string of like, I don't know, probably 5 to 6 fights where he just, whether it's, you know, the opponent or it just wasn't, there wasn't much there, you know, but he has gotten better, I'll say that. And that's where I think some of the, just use a little bit more of the fundamentals. Like I said, use the jab a little more. Now, when you double and triple and all that, that's probably going to get you countered even more. So I just, unless Canelo is just faded and Munguia really puts on a performance of a lifetime, I just don't see him winning. I see a fun fight and all that. Like I said, Munguia, at least he's fought in some solid fighters the last two times out, you know? I mean, if Berlanga gets the fight in September, it'd be like, oh, great, who the hell did he fight to get it, you know? So, speaking of which, Jermall Charlo said that he's going to get the Canelo fight. I've also heard that, you know, Eddie Hearn's already in talks to give him, you know, give him Berlanga. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I got him by decision. I think he'll win by decision. And I think it'll be a clean win. I don't think there'll be any controversy. And I just feel like he's just a better fighter, man. And, yeah, we know that, you know, Canelo's not in his prime. We know that. But has Munguia kind of hit his, you know, hit his prime? Has he... You know, is this his prime? Is this all the better he's going to get? Because like I said, I think we've seen some improvement, no doubt. I like the way he puts his punches together, but I really think you got to attack the body, man, and just see what happens. And part of it is, like I said, you gotta hurt him. You got him, get him on the move. You know. But yeah, that would be a big, big upset. And if you think, hey, man, it's, you know, Canelo's time is now, and you're kind of using the Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, obviously they don't fight the same. It's not the same fight. McGee and Garcia definitely don't. But if you do think that way, I mean, shit, the lowest number is on DraftKings, the lowest number right now listed, you know, is... It's plus 380, but you can go to plus 400 all the way up to plus 430, you know? I personally put a bet on Canelo by decision. We got a good number for it. I feel pretty good about it. I have yet to back it up with a knockout because I do think the TKO is possible. I do. He had a little run there, Canelo did, you know, of stopping people, right? Not a super long run. And even the thing like survival mode, right? Like Charlo, a lot of times Munguia can't even do that, you know? Yeah, but that run, let's be honest. It was really, I mean, Yildirim, okay, you can count it. But it was really Billy Joe Saunders and what's his name, Caleb Plant. That was his run. Well, I suppose Kovalev, too. Yeah, Kovalev, too. He's been fighting a lot. I mean, that's the thing, man. Like, dude's got, like, 64 fights or something, right? Yeah, 62-2. I mean, I guess at some point, right, you can just kind of fall off and just kind of, you just expire. You expire on the shelf, right? But I personally don't see it, you know. I personally don't see it in this one. I think Mungia is going to have a good effort and all that, but I don't see him winning that fight. But you never know. It is going to do a big, big gate, over 20 million. Another fight with Canelo in the PBC where they do a monster gate. So, you know, obviously the fight everybody wants to see is Benavidez. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But it is what it is, you know. Now, I've been hearing kind of back and forth on the pay-per-view number. I saw this Jim Karras talking about so much for DAZN subscribers getting a discount on pay-per-view. Canelo Munguia asking price through DAZN Canada is $88.99, which is $9 more than $79.99 price tag through his cable provider. Huh. That was kind of interesting. I didn't realize that. I did not think that it would be more there. And, you know, I don't remember them offering one here either as far as a discount, because there was that, they sell the Gervonta and Ryan Garcia. They sold that fight for under, for lower than it was. But I'm seeing right around that on Amazon, like I'm seeing 80 or 79.99, I'm seeing 89.95. Let me see what it says on the zone here. Is that the same thing? And the way it works, like the zone is, let's see what it says. Okay, it's not. Sorry. So you got to sign up to buy it. I mean, I'm just looking at it. Okay, it's $89.99. You get a free month of DAZN. So, there you have it. First month free, best value, 12-month contract, first month free, then $19.99 per month. Now, the monthly pass, first month free, then $29.90 per month monthly subscription. Cancels with 30 days notice, which is really silly. Next payment would be $531.20. So, that's why I read that, because once you sign up, if you don't want to pay for that month, you got to let them know right away, and a lot of times it's a little funky. It's kind of a way to get a free month out of you. Well, it's not free, but, you know, to get a month out of you, no matter what. You sign up, then you have to, you know, it says you got to wait, you know, you got to give them 30 days. You got to tell them. So, will they get that message by that time? But yeah, it's a spendy one. It is a spendy one. And that's why, although there is a, you know, a lot of money at the top of the card, I do wish that they would have hooked up the undercard a little bit better, obviously. And like I said, sometimes we talk shit about fights and they turn out. I'm just hoping that they're just competitive for a little bit. You know what I mean? That's really what it is. I like that. I like the undercard or the prelim fights a little bit better, actually. You never know. Like I said, we all act like retro sometimes, and sometimes we call it just right. Other times, not so much. Okay, so John may have just gotten busy. So, because I know I was trying to just sneak him in. So he may have... he may just be busy. Maybe he's going to call him a little bit. We'll see. So it's kind of interesting. So obviously that August 3rd card, you know, the Rehad season in L.A., Jared Anderson is now on the card. But here's the thing. So this is from Turkey, Alashik. The talented Jared Anderson is with us now on August 3rd, Rehad season card, L.A., August. The Bronze Bomber, Deontay Wilder, if he's ready by then to fight after the 1st of June's fight against Zhang, I always believed that boxing would be at its peak when you have young American heavyweights like Jared Anderson, which I also believe in his talent, his promise in the future. My advice to him, focus on your future training commitment, and you will reach your goals. Happy collaborate. Oh, happy to collaborate with Top Rank. Riyadh season card, 3rd of August, L.A., will be one for history. So the thing about that is, it's like, first of all, he's got to beat Zhang, right? And while they're like, it's kind of weird that they weren't like, the winner faces him. But the turnaround, it's good to stay busy. Turnaround to fight, you know, more than likely he's going to take some punishment this one with Zhang, you know what I mean? So to turn right around, you know, because everyone kind of thought AJ and Wilder, you know, that was next because, you know, from the sounds of it, unless something weird happens, Fury Usyk's already going to have a rematch. So I don't know. You know, and maybe they're going to, because remember when it was Parker Zhang and then there was going to be a rematch? Because right after the fight, Parker's like, all right, I get to rematch him. And everyone's like, why, you know? Maybe if Zhang wins, he is going to rematch him. I don't know, but I don't know, man. It's a pretty quick turnaround. It's one thing to stay sharp. You know, I mean, after that fight, right before Christmas, didn't take long for a while. Wilder to get back in the gym. So we're going to find out, you know, and that's the thing about boxing, dude. You know, we could talk all we want about this, about that, but boxing has a way of telling the truth, right? And of course, like I said before, he's past his prime. We know that. We know that. Now, you know, is he so past his prime that he's just going to look like that or worse? I mean, the Parker fight, where he just can't pull the trigger? That could be. Maybe he doesn't want to, you know, there's something subconsciously in there that's telling him not to exchange, you know? Or he's just, whatever, you know, hesitant, right? Gun-shy, whatever you want to say. But, so that, a lot of people think it's just that, and he's completely done, and it's a wrap. And, you know, that very well may be, man. You know, he did take punishment. He is getting up there in age now, like way up there. But, you know, having more than 2 years off, basically, I mean, he had a training camp. And how long did that Helenius fight last? Not long. So, you know, I could understand that part of it where you're like, you know, you have to at least, you know, put that into the equation. Like I said, the most likely thing is he's just way past his prime. But I also think that you at least will know, is what I'm trying to say, right? If you get basically back into training, which it sounds like he did, I mean, having that fight got some of the rust off. And now if you stayed sharp and trained a lot of this time, maybe not full board like it's 100% training camp, right, since January or something, but it sounds like he got right back into it because he didn't take a bunch of punishment in that Parker fight, if we're being honest, and Parker just had a game plan at any time. You know, Wilder couldn't really land his right hand like he wanted to, but when he did, he was able to clinch right away. So it was a great, great game plan. So, but we'll find out. We'll find out. You know, will he be able to jab? Will he be able to pull the trigger? And the same with Zhang. I mean, he was at least, he landed some shots that hurt Parker, right? Or buzzed him and knocked him down. But he was having problems throwing punches, too. We know his gas tank's not that good. Wilder's gas tank's not that good, especially when he's been up at the higher part of heavyweight as far as weight, right? But when he's a little bit, you know, leaner, usually he'll get his second and third win. So neither of these guys are going to throw 70, 80 punches around, right? So it is going to be like a power-punching chess match almost, you know, where these guys are going to want to let it go, but they don't throw it in combinations left and right and that type of thing. So that said, though, I am looking forward to the fight, but on one hand, Jared Anderson, it's a great fight for him. And obviously, when you have the, I mean, I don't know exactly what he's getting, but he's clearly getting some money. This is a big fight, you know, and it could do wonders for him. And it just adds to that card, you know. But I turn around. Is pretty a tough ask. I mean, first of all, like I said, you gotta get by Zhang. And so, I don't know, man. You know, I'm a little all over the place. And I was kind of thinking, hey, because it was that September 20th or whatever date in Wembley. Actually, this is from TalkSport. Anthony Joshua has declared that his next fight is being planned for September 20th, 21st at Wembley versus Wilder. Wilder Zhang winner or Hrgović Duboy winner. The one who looks the best. Hey, Turk, he said that. I was like, what? I want you to fight him, basically. So, my guess is, though, like, if they're doing this, then they're going to fight Dubois and Hrgović, you know. Because either way, Zhang and Wilder are big-ass punchers. And I'm not saying, oh, he's ducking him, oh, he's scared him. But, you know, I mean, Turkey's the one who's got the money. So he's telling people who they're going to fight. So, I don't know, you know. The way they made it sound, right, for a while now, that actually it'd be September, which would give them like two more months almost, that was going to be it. That was going to be the fight. And we'd still get it. Maybe it was just too much time out of the ring and he's past his prime, but he's not all the way past his prime and he still holds that power, you know. So if he got by Zhang, I kind of started thinking maybe this is when they for sure would fight AJ. And this is something that AJ was talking about just the other day. I'll let you push me.
He gets through this next fight.
Let's go.
Could that happen? You'd be up for that?
110%. Okay. I think that if he goes out there and looks good especially, that will kind of reignite that flame that he had, because boxing is all about perception. You can look bad one fight and go out there the next fight and look good and everyone says, yeah, he's back. So I pray that he does his thing. I pray that Zhang does his thing. Whichever one looks good and whichever one his excellency wants, I'm ready.
Right. So he said, I'm ready for it. Whichever one, he said it right there. So kind of played that just to kind of let you hear it from the horse's mouth. So, you know, if, in fact, there is a Fury-Usyk rematch, then they really still want Joshua and Fury, obviously. That would be the ultimate fight. Not ultimate fight, but, like, the fight that it would be huge still, because, you know, Joshua's been looking good lately, and then Fury would have another big win, and then that would be a big fight, obviously. So, you know, we'll see. Oh, by the way, someone mentioned me or messaged me a 6-round knockout, brutal knockout from Batista or something like that on ESPN Knockout. Yeah, I did see that highlight. That was, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Yeah, JoJo, last 8 fights, 2-5-1. Man, I would say how the mighty have fallen, but, you know, I wouldn't call him mighty. Here's more from that Talk Sport. Anthony Joshua was asked if he welcomed a trilogy fights with Usyk and Ruiz. He said, I would love to compete with Usyk, but I don't think that's the number one pick on the fans list, wish list. I'd love to fight Usyk. I'd love to fight Ruiz, but I think the fans want me to head towards Tyson Fury, and that is true. Like I said, that's a big, big fight. And I don't know, man. Let's just say it's not shocking, right? Let's just say it's not shocking that they wouldn't put him in with Zhang or Wilder just based off he's a big mother effing puncher, and that'll mess that fight up, you know? So it's kind of like, how many people are going to be super excited about Wilder and Fury again? Now, don't get me wrong. The last time a lot of people weren't excited about it, they gave us a damn good fight, right? But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. Now, I did get a few, you know, questions here and messages about the card. You know, that Rehab season, talking about they're going to L.A. and whatnot. It's, you know, it is a damn good card. And whenever you get, like, the main event's not the best fight, that's telling you something, right? And every once in a while throughout the year, whether it's the fights turn out better on the undercard than we think going in, or it's just stacked and it's a good-ass card, you know, we're starting to get these now, you know? Tim Zhu Fundora card was really good. On paper, this is crazy. Like, it's a really, I mean, like, I already mentioned the Tim Zhu Ortiz fight. That's a banger. And we mentioned this last week, Pitbull Cruz and Valenzuela Ryo. That's a banger, just based off style, you know, because, you know, Ryo definitely can get clipped himself, and I think probably will, but man, he's got hand speed, he's got power, he's a heady fighter, dude. And like I said, he packs punch, he can be very accurate, he tends to get into it. I think, like I said, stylistically, when you look at Ortiz and Sue and Pitbull Cruz and Ryo, I mean, those are awesome fights. I'm loving that, right? And then, like I said, maybe Wilder goes out there and catches Zhang in the third round, right? Well, then all of a sudden, he didn't have to overexert himself, and maybe he would be ready for that Jared Anderson fight. But it's not like it was set in stone. But that's what he's offering him. Now, does that mean he's, like I mentioned, that sounds like that, you know, we're not getting the AJ fight next, and he's going to fight, you know, Hrgović, you know, Hrgović or Dubois. But who knows? You know, I've been mentioning about David Morrell. You know, it was going to take a good amount of money to get somebody in the ring with him. I like this fight for him. What is it, Kalajic? The K-Rod is what everybody called him for a long time. This dude can fight. You know, he's a solid fighter. He's been in there with some really good fighters. I really like that fight for Morrell. I think it's a good fight. Andy Cruz against Antonio Moran. Where Cruz is, I don't mind that fight whatsoever. And then, you know, Andy Ruiz, Gerald Miller, Big Baby Miller, it's like, it's not a, you know, I'm not like, oh, dude, that's an awesome fight. Stylistically, once again, though, you know, I think I mentioned it the other day, like, when he has someone coming to him, talking about Andy Ruiz, when someone's coming to him, dude, he's usually a better fighter. He looks better, all that type of stuff, right? Like, he's sharper. He can kind of do what he's really good at. And so, you know, I think that maybe I wouldn't have the same, like, I'm okay with this fight because, shit, I mean, he hasn't fought in a long time. You know, he was trying, you know, he didn't think he was getting enough money or whatever for the Wilder fight. He had a surgery. He had some outside of the ring stuff. So I'll say this, though. After that Anthony Joshua fight, the first fight, obviously not, didn't look good in the second one. Didn't really look good against Ariella or Ortiz. I thought he kind of got his shit together against Ortiz and did it, you know. But that was a good fight. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be almost 2 years in the out of the ring. So, to me, that's why Miller, that's okay. I realize Miller is coming off, you know, I think it was the last round of that fight stoppage, right? So, you know, that's why I'm okay with it, because it's like, well, I mean, shit, dude, you know? And then, obviously, Crawford and Madrimov. And I think people have been kind of like, kind of in between on Madrimov, right? I think people are kind of hyped. They hyped him right away. Then I think too many people kind of dogged him and acted like he wasn't shit. And that's where I'm kind of right in between. You know, I think the guy, I mean, shit, he hasn't had many fights. I think this is only like his 12th fight or something like that. You know, he had that Soro fight, that rematch, right? He had already won a fight, but it was a funky fight, right? But he, you know, the Kurbanov, he did damn good in that fight. That was not long ago, right? That was like in March or something like that. Looked really good. And like I said, I thought he kind of weathered some stuff in that Michelle Soro fight. And then was the stoppage funky? Sure, you know, of course. But I don't know. Like I said, I think that this guy, he's a little loose with his punches. I just think he lines up pretty good for Crawford. Now, he's probably a little quicker footed than people give him credit. When he throws tighter punches and you know, is very aggressive, very active, a lot of people are using the Porter comp, which, you know, I don't think it's a bad one. Now, Porter before Crawford had fought, you know, a variety of style of fighters at a higher level, too. So I think that's the problem there. Now, when I say custom made, because I saw a little Twitter spat over this, I just think that he just gets too wide with his punches. He's a little over too aggressive or overly aggressive. But like I said, that's a fair comp with Porter. I guess I just got to see more from Madrimov to call him Porter. And I'm not trying to blow Porter up to this A-level fighter or whatever, right? Like, oh, dude, he's the creme de la creme. I'm not saying that. I mean, and if we're being honest, Porter had some problems on the way up and had to have a rematch, you know. So, I mean, he showed he can get hit 22. He showed he can be wide with his punches. He can show that he smothered his punches. I think Madrimov is a little bit better when it comes to putting his punches together. He's probably got, but you know, better footwork and stuff. But I just think that I like Crawford in a fight that's not really going out on the limb. But I just think that he's going to adjust to him and then really do his thing. My thing about Madrimov, I've seen now that he's fighting Crawford, like people, not just Crawford, like someone sent me the video of Crawford saying, I think he's the best 54-pounder. Well, I think that's a crock of shit. I think, obviously, Charlo, you still got to give him credit for being the lineal. He is the man. Now, popping up in weight and then coming back down, and, you know, is that going to be an issue? hasn't been as active in recent years. Is that going to be an issue? Possibly. But, I mean, Tim Tszyu, you know, you got to put Fedora in there, right? Obviously. Tim Tszyu, Fedora, Virgil Ortiz, like, we still got to see if Spence is, you know, completely chopped liver now, right? Used goods, basically. Not chopped liver as a career, but, you know, like, just done, you know? Or is the weight going to help him and not shrink it, you know? We don't know. We don't know. You'd love to see Castaño back. I mean, there's other guys there, too. So I think it's, to use an old term that my grandfather, you know, I think it's a crock of shit, you know, that you just say Madrimov because, why? Because Terrence is fighting. So he's just, he's number one in that division. So if he beats him, he's number one. Nah, I don't think so. Now, that's not to say Madrimov can't have a good career after that at 150, maybe 160, 154, 160. I'm not saying that, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that at all. But I don't know, man. I just think that, I think that's a little over the top. And I think it's just listening to what their guy said in Terrence Crawford. Hey, Terrence Crawford's my guy too, you know? But, you know, I'm not, just because Terrence said, or a promoter said, I mean, he's promoting the damn fight, so... but this is who they wanted him to fight now, because I don't think he is the best fight for him at 54 or 47, obviously. Ennis would be the fight that everyone would want to see right now, beyond, you know, Charlo or Tim Tszyu or something like that. But this is the fight the Saudis wanted him to fight, so I think it's a fine fight. I've already mentioned how I wouldn't doubt if it's, you know, come fight night, you know, if it's a, one of those unifications, you know, kind of like we just had a unification with Tim Tszyu and Fedora. Did it need to be unification? Nah, it didn't. But it was. So, who knows? Now, I saw Dan Raphael talk about this carjacking and burglary charges against heavyweight Gerald Miller in Florida have been dropped, according to court records. So, wrong identity or what, I don't know. Here's some interesting news. Ryan Garcia, like I said, he's been on his victory tour. Saw him with Deion Sanders. He's rapping. He's visiting Trump. He's buddy-buddy with Trump. He's doing his thing. Like, he can hang out with whoever the fuck he wants to hang out with, whatever. I don't judge guys as a fighter. I judge them, you know, if you're going to say stuff. I've already mentioned about the George Floyd stuff, you know. And I think that he's taking advantage of saying, you know, that I'm going to save the children. Meanwhile, Epstein and Trump were cool. You know, a lot of people flew on Epstein's, you know, to his island or whatever, but him and Trump were cool. So, flight log or no flight log, which there's been no official flight log released, actually official. But we know, because why they're on camera, you know, hanging out. So that's where I've always thought, I got a little problem with Garcia basically taking advantage of, you know, trafficking children. Sex trafficking is a very serious thing, and I can't stand the people that thrift off of it. It pisses me off. Grifting like a motherfucker. Anyway, what I will so say from a boxing perspective, though, he tweeted, I'm trying to get back in the ring. Vacation is whack because I was already doing this shit in training camp. No, but I've seen him post, you know, running videos and stuff like that. And I am, as a boxing fan, right, I am, you know, in a weird way rooting for him to turn the corner, because boxing fans need guys that can punch. They need guys that can sell. fights. They need all this stuff, right? And by the way, it sounds like Golden Boy versus Ryan Garcia. There was an update there. This is RJ Wolf, at RJ Wolf. Order dismissing the case, order on stipulation, dismiss with prejudice as to all claims against the defendant Garcia and defendant Valenzuela, with each party to bear its own cost and fees in this action. So it was dismissed. So I guess, you know, I guess they're cool. They're going to move on, which is cool. I'll say that. Oh, last Wednesday, Sosa, I think it was Sosa, Damian Sosa, I think it was, over Valle, Marquise Valle. Valle was an unbeaten fighter that was, you know, Plant City. That was a damn good fight, and there was a big, nice-sized upset, no doubt about it. So, yeah, that was a big one for him. That was a good fight. Last Wednesday, so I didn't get into it too much, but thanks for reminding me. I appreciate that. Now, as far as selling and all that, right, I've been getting some messages as well and seeing people talking about the pay-per-view number. You know, there was a report from a DAZN reporter that said 1.5 million, right? The DAZN reporter's not going to report that without, like, a press release following. And then there's this Eddie Hearn, we need them Haney Ryan numbers, Eddie, right? So whether it's real or fake, I think it's fake, but he said 972,000, so just short of a million pay-per-view, and 9.2 at the gate, sold out. 19,733, which that tells me it's a fake post, right? Someone sent me that. I did see that post anyway. That's a fake post because we know the attendance number, and usually an attendance number doesn't match up. You know, that's not tickets sold. That's who's in the building, right? Now, I'm not saying they didn't do a sizable gate because I know for a fact they did, but and then Ryan Garcia, cha-ching, $50 million, $35 million. For them to make $85 million apiece, that comes from a website, by the way, that's usually always wrong. But they would, by Thursday, you have a good feel of where it's at in the traditional pay-per-view, right? It used to be cable and satellite, right? But for DAZN, dude, they can know the numbers even quicker. Now, you know, I could understand it, being a streaming app and being a cable company that bills you. Of course, they bill you. But the reason why I mention that is because sometimes pay-per-views, you know, you'll buy a pay-per-view and it doesn't show up for the next month. So that's why they keep counting and stuff like that. But the 1.5 or a million, hey, if I wanted to do 2 million as a boxing fan, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is, dude, you know? Hold on, I'm getting the text message here. All right, so there's just no way that it did 1.5. I don't think it did a million. Like I said, I want it to, but they would already know if it was nearing a million or have a good vibe about that. They would have already, you know, they would already have this stuff out there. And then if they don't know the numbers yet, then how do they know how much they made? You know, I think that's
the hell.
I think that's a thing. Like, how do you know how much you made if you don't even know the numbers? So that just, you know, this is all just, you know, nonsense sometimes. You know, it just is what it is, man. But like I said, I hope it's big. I hope it did major numbers. But, you know, also Ryan Garcia said Floyd told me to come over 3 pounds. He told me, fuck, go Haiti, whatever. That's a funny post. So, some of these messages are really funny. But I did see that Rehad season with Crawford and Madrimov and that, you know, bomb-ass card. There was a couple of, this is how you know Turkey's got some power, dude. First of all, the way, you know, the way they were talking about it is, like, Eddie in the zone kind of made it sound like it's a matchroom card, that's it, you know. And it's like, nah, dude, there's a lot of promoters working on it and a lot of outfits working on it. There's a lot of PBC fighters on it, right? So a lot of people just thought everyone that's on that card is now a matchroom fighter, just automatically, right? And there are some Madrimov right there, you know, there are, but like, not long after when the press conference, DAZN apologizes for the incorrect Rehad season press conference title earlier today. August 3rd is the first Rehad season event in the U.S. involving several promoters. Right? Because he was trying to take credit for everything, right? Now, people got this one twisted with Oscar De La Hoya. No promoter is coming into my territory and think they can take over my sport. This is a war that's aimed towards a person who doesn't know shit about boxing. Some people didn't realize that was Eddie Hearn. Which I was like, well, of course it's Eddie Hearn. He's talking about. I'm not saying Eddie don't know shit. I'm just saying, like, you know. But he came back and was like, Your Excellency, as a legend in boxing and a humble human being, I thank you for putting a terrific card in L.A. I appreciate you and respect you, bro. But it was clearly aimed at Eddie Hearn. And that was easy to see. I'm not saying what he said was exactly right. You know, I'm not saying that. But this is what Oscar was like. Eddie, for the sake of British boxing, just stay in the UK and promote. Leave the real promoters to the U.S. market where the boxing matters. You had your opportunity, wasting hundreds of millions of dollars building nothing in the U.S. Eddie Hearn says, generally, are you okay? You stalked me like a crazy fan. You had a great win on Saturday, yet I consume your mind 24-7. Unfortunately for you, I am a global promoter with 18 world champions. UF4. I have big plans to work with everyone to grow the sport globally, yada, yada, yada. So, best wishes, type thing. And, you know, that's the thing about Eddie, too, though. Like, I think Oscar, you know, he's just talking shit. Like, why don't you, you know, get Turkey to give you some money so you can do your shit, Oscar? You know? Obviously, look, I mean, Eddie had to get one up on, you know, originally with Frank Warren, right? Eddie was talking a whole lot of shit to Frank Warren, you know, saying that they don't have a date. They don't have money there for the fight they wanted to do. And that was bullshit, you know. That was obviously bullshit because they did, and now he's the guy over there, Frank. But for Oscar to get jealous at Eddie, I mean, why don't you get Turkey on your side, dude, and get a card? Like, it is what it is, you know? It seems like he's the lead promoter, but there's a lot of fights coming together. But the one thing I'll say, so I'm on Eddie's side on this one, but the one thing I'll say about Eddie is, here's a prime example. I gave a variety of examples of what he would say about the PBC and then what actually happened in recent years, right? But here's a prime example, you know, of these fighters are going to be fighting on a card where there's a bunch of people fighting each other and fighting from different promotional outfits. So, and he's going to be promoting, right? He's in the damn picture, right? So what he says about PBC isn't right. And even if sometimes it is right, he doesn't do that either. How many times, even the Conor Ben, the Conor Ben-Gervonta thing, he's like, oh, I'll offer you a fight. Well, why don't you try to have them offer you a fight, you know? You're trying to get Gervonta to come over here, you know, fight on the zone, match him. Well, hold on. Didn't you just say that that's something that, you know, like, you don't have the A side. My thing is when the PBC has the A side, it's always different. And they just don't push back. The press doesn't push back enough. But when Matchroom has the A side, then they want to keep it on their platform. And that's fair. I'm not saying that that shouldn't be the case. But so I'm a little in between on that one. But either way, he takes a huge-ass contract, you know, to basically a big-ass lump of sum of money to get everybody to work together. And let's never forget that that's what it took. For two reasons. One, you know, they could already work with each other, even if it's not a mass sum. And two, a lot of times certain fights get made only when the pot's big enough. And so don't just side up on one side and be like, oh, he don't want the fight because that's your favorite fighter, that's your favorite promoter, or whatever. Try to keep this, just remember this. When the pot gets big enough, fights tend to happen. And if there's just a big-ass pot that they're handing out money, and a lot of times they're going right to the fighter first, and the manager, and then the promoter, you know, fights get made, right? And a lot of times there are fights that you want to see. And in recent years, or a recent year or whatever, it hasn't been fights that have been able to be made because the money wasn't big enough. Because there just wasn't a lot of money. They weren't willing to risk it. And obviously you're talking about Bivol and Peterbia, you know? So, and that's Bivol or Bivol, you know, off of a Canelo win, you know? So just don't forget that, you know? If someone's the A side, someone's the A side. Sometimes the A side will bend and go 50-50 or whatever. Sometimes they don't. A lot of times they don't. But I just try to keep that perspective. But here's, this is where it's like, Oscar's just, he takes a step forward, then he takes a step back for me, because Eddie Hearn has this message for Haney. The road is long. This young man will be back stronger than ever, talking about Haney. You obviously never laced up the gloves, Oscar. Smiling emoji, laughing. Just like Don King and the rest, you don't know what it is like to fight inside a ring. Guess what? I do, and that beating will last for a while. But then he sees him on the street jogging, and it's just kind of weird. Fred was like, brought to you by Fight On This Card, or the WBA will strip you promotions. Yeah, there is plenty of that. There is some of that. But yeah, I like that card. I'm glad it's official. I love that card. I think it's great. Speaking of DAZN, though, DAZN partners with Tubi. Streaming service will launch channels featuring live boxing and MMA. And the first thing I thought of, and I saw other people say it, people have messaged me, can I cancel my DAZN and just go on Tubi then? You know, I got to really see how it figures out. Here's a prime example. Fight Hub owner. All it took to fix boxing was a fucking ton of money. A fuck ton of money. Me and a few media members yesterday were thinking, what happens after? What happens to the purses and the fights if Saudi changes courts? It's like, yeah. No shit. But that's the whole thing, you know? Like, you're now just questioning that. Cool, but that was always the question. Oh, the purses, you know. I've said that from the start. And it's funny because you don't hear the same complaints right off the bat from the media members for overpaying boxers. Like I said, hate it. You can hate it. You can hate that I keep mentioning it, but it's true. When the PBC were getting solid pay those fighters, you know, they were ruining the sport, you know. But, yeah, that's a fair question, you know. We don't know how long the money's going to go. We really don't. We don't know how, you know, we don't know how long it's going. Sean Zatale, he was mentioned, you know, he was talking to David Benavidez, and I guess Turkey wanted to make the Crawford fight, but at 160, and Benavidez like, dude, I can't make 160. Man. There's no fucking way, you know. There's no way I can do that. Sean Nam says Saudi Arabia promoting a show this summer in Los Angeles featuring the best fighter on the planet and fighters aligned with the BBC's Al Haymon is just the latest sign that the oil kingdom has taken over the sport. This is Fred. You know what boxing really needed? Some thug that jails people for making fun of him on Twitter to collude with sanctioned bodies to put on events. Unlike Al Haymon, this team up doesn't violate several state and federal laws. Better hope they don't stiff any meaning on the car. It's just weird that, like, when a fight gets, or an event gets, you know, like, announced, and don't get me wrong, a chunk of people, lots of people are like, dude, I love the car, you know, they're into it. But the usual suspects go right to, oh, shit, they're all with Natural. Everyone's a bet. It's like, dude, first of all, no, they're not. Second of all, even if there were, do you like the card or not, dude? How can that be your first thought? I mean, by the way, Jake Donovan talking about Rayo, Valenzuela, acknowledging that, you know, he was in camp for Edwin De Los Santos' rematch before this, you know, this WBA came up. And here's an example, right? We heard that, that Antoine Russell. Antoine Russell was now with Natural for sure. And I guess that's not true, you know, but since it was reported, it's like, oh yeah, no problem. You know? Forget it, you know. It's just like, who gives a shit, dude? You know? And why are they thinking Al Haymon then on the card? They have nothing to do with him, you know. This one, though, this is when you know Turkey's really coming around to the boxing politics. A new remarkable partnership. Riyadh Season achieves a significant milestone as the official sponsor of the World Boxing Association. Oh boy. William Smith. Rockapore? How do you say that dude's name? Anyway, there's a rematch at CBS Stadium. That's going to be a good one. It's June 15th. That's a good fight. That's a very, very good fight. Yeah, boxing enthusiast was the one who said Gary Antoine Russell is now signed with Eddie and Natural. Speaking of De Los Santos, though, I've heard some rumors that it was Gary Russell Jr. that's going to fight him now. I've also heard that maybe it's actually Antonio Russell. I don't know. Not really sure. So don't quote me on that. But I don't know. And that's another thing. Like, people were already saying that the PBC's dogging Tim Tszyu. Are you sure? Because they just put him in a fight with Virgil, which led to Fedora. But they thought, you know, they're taking away the Crawford fight. It's like, that fight wasn't even there anymore. Like, all right, someone sent me this. Hands of Stone. He didn't send it, but Adrian Broner would knock out Devin Haney worse than Ryan Garcia. Well, hold on. First of all, that's bullshit. Second of all, Devin Haney didn't get knocked out, dude. How can you knock somebody out worse when you didn't get knocked out? What the fuck, dude? This is Adam from SN Boxing. I think the Ruiz-Miller fight will play well. Miller will come right to at Ruiz. Exactly. And only good Ruiz fights are when people come to him. Yeah, I mean, I just got done saying that not long ago. Totally agree. I think it's right there. Fred makes a good point to say Bro, they ain't saving dates for Morel or Pitbull. PBC is drowning, and they are lucky the Saudis threw them a life raft. Well, they threw a bunch of people a life raft. Outside of Canelo fight Tank, they don't have anybody who can make money. Fred says, Pitbull is signed to Manny and TDB. Morel is managed by Luis de Cubas, the most, like most of his fighters. This is the PBC issue. Outside of the two biggest fighters in America, they're in trouble. He wants to talk numbers or not? Like, because he's saying, you know, like the PBC has a fight now coming up that's going to do over 20 million, you know? Like Canelo, and then obviously the Tank's going to do huge, but not a single fighter on Eddie's card has a deal with the PBC, but they talk PBC because that's the only name that sells, and that is kind of funny too. Okay, so Spence, I mentioned Spence and Charlo. Spence, Derek James, this is actually Jake Donovan. Derek James has filed a lawsuit against Errol Spence with Dallas County District Court. James, the 2022 Trainer of the Year, seeks damages in excess of $5 million, nearly half from what he believes he still owed for the Terrence Crawford fight. Now, it sounds like they didn't have a ton of paperwork. So that's never good, per se. Now, guaranteed money up front and back-end pay-per-view, I don't think a trainer, this is my own opinion, I don't think a trainer should get back-end pay-per-view. But the more back-end pay-per-view that you generate as a fighter, as time goes by, you get more up front money. And then maybe, you know, remember Mayweather signed that at least $32 million with Showtime on a fight, sometimes more. Matters who he's fighting. You saw Canelo with a monster deal. So that part is a little different because that's they know what they're getting up front. But, yeah, I mean, if he shortchanged them, then, yeah, of course, you know. So we're going to find out. Then, you know, the suing goes both ways. So – I don't know. It sucks, but it is what it is. Speaking of the pay-per-view, someone just sent me this. How many pay-per-view guys did Ryan and Haney do? Gomez, this is setback. Nelly setback. We don't have those numbers yet. Everything is on the internet is not real. The first report comes out 10 days after the fight. And, like, the more solid, like, tighter one, a lot of times it can be by Thursday. And maybe you're talking about pay-per-view.com or whatever, like Lefty was talking about. DAZN has those numbers real-time as they are purchased. Maybe they're waiting on the pay-per-view.com numbers. And as far as DAZN, just kind of straightening out why they have it, Munguia is under DAZN, and that's how they worked out that deal. But they're not – it's not a co-promotion, right? So just like Fight Height, I'm sorry, Fight TV and pay-per-view.com, they get cuts of it. So you get a cut of it, whether it's 8 to 10%, 12 to 15. The cable companies for a while were getting 50-50. Then it was like 60-40 at least, you know, in favor of the fighters and the promotional side, 60-40. So DAZN gets a percentage of all the sales. But this time, they didn't shrink the price like they did for Ryan Garcia and Gervonta. This time, they're doing the full price, but they're actually giving you a free month. So, and according to Fred, right, yeah, he estimates the gate setup will be, or the gate setup's anywhere from 21 to 23 million. There's still, I think this was not long ago, over 2,000 tickets available, estimated face value, 2.171. So you should follow Fred at the other account that really he does a good job with really good job of you know, breaking down that stuff. Now, I recently heard that Fulton, Stephen Fulton, he was another guy rumored for a fight coming up. So Fulton will return June 15th on the Tank Davis Frank Martin undercard in Vegas, right? So Adam says, very good fight between Fulton and Luis Nunez at featherweight. Also in the piece, Fulton is not being trained by Bozy Ennis. Now, Bozy Ennis is the one that Carcino said last week that Spence is training with right now. I don't know if that's going to be his trainer 100% or whatever, but so, yeah, that's kind of interesting. That is a good fight. I heard a couple different. Okay, so, yeah, so John is just, he's just too busy. I knew it was going to be tight. He's not able to call in. So, actually, John tweeted something. Can see why Munguia looks like a value upset pick with his age, power, and volume punching and size compared to Canelo's age. The other side is Canelo is younger than Derevchenko, better than him in all respects. And look at the hell Derevchenko put. Yeah, I mean, that's well said. That is very well said. On Punch Drunk Boxing, Teofimo has called out for a potential fight in September or December with Ryan Garcia. It says it doesn't necessarily have to be at my weight class. It could be a catch weight, so we don't have any problems moving forward. That would be a big fight. Now, I heard about sanction as a pro fight. That's what it sounds like Jake Paul and Mike Tyson is going to be. Jake Paul tweeted Mike Tyson wanted to be a pro fight. Netflix wanted to be a pro fight, so I agreed to make it a pro fight. Winner takes all. Now, you know, so there's no headgear then? Is that what's going on? Adrian Delgado, great follow. Canelo Munguia. Canelo is facing a fighter who's physically peaking in Munguia. Alvarez's strengths will be evident early on with the sharp counters and accuracy. Second half of the fight is where Munguia's motor and physicality could close the gap. Durability will be a factor late. He's always got, you know, some good shit to say, that's for sure. And I agree with what he's saying. Lord of the Flies, it's funny seeing Ramirez's washed or shot takes when he's always been a flawed fighter. Skillful fighter with zero ring IQ will randomly try to out-jab opponents outside that have a better long-range command than him. Makes fights way more difficult because of it. That's a good point. So after the interview, Punch Drunk said, Ryan and Teo, the biggest fight, Teo, the biggest fight. This is the fight that'll do more than Tank and Ryan. The promo will be twice as better and more dramatic. September is Honduras and Mexican Independence Weekend. He said close to 2 million. I don't know about that, man. Right, I know that. Here's a good one. It's about protecting the children until you get invited with someone who was on the Epstein list and talked about dating his daughter. Like I said, I don't know about the Epstein list, but we know they hung out. So yeah, as far as Derek and Spence, they're going to figure that out. I don't know who's right, who's wrong, what's up. Like I said, on the surface, it doesn't seem all that great to not have paperwork. Sometimes things get worked out and it works out for the best. Lesson learned, I don't know. So Gervonta and Stevenson have been going at it, right? And I remember talking, you know, I was thinking about this last week. He was talking about, hey, if you got a 6 or 7 fight deal, why can't it be first or whatever? And I think if Stevenson's going to fight Tank, he'd have to sign with the PBC. And I just, that's my belief, you know. Now, we've seen Bud not have to do it to fight Spence, but, you know, Bud was a better commodity. Now, he hadn't done a bunch of pay-per-views, but he was more consistent at the gate, and he's just, for Undisputed and all that stuff, right? So, and it had been a fight that was built for a long time, right? So it is what it is. But I think that if you're willing to sign with Top Rank and then you read us, now if you're going to re-up again to try to get Loma, try to get Navarrete, that's your business, you know? But if you're looking for the tank fight, then I would definitely sign with the PBC. And, you know, let's say you fight three fights with them and they don't give it to you. All right, well, dude, you know how much that's going to build you? Because I'd be like, dude, you had them and you didn't do it. So you could prove, quote, unquote, that they ducked. But things got a little ugly with Floyd Mayweather and Tank Davis. Tank was saying that basically Floyd is out in Dubai. He already this is alleged, right? He said that, you know, he can't leave Dubai because he took some people, not took people's money, but they paid him to do something. And he hasn't done it. That's what he's kind of saying. So I don't know, but they went back at it, and next thing you know, he puts out. This should be the fight: Stevenson versus Davis. Like there, it seems like they always go at it. Gervonta's got a fight, you know. Stevenson also said 3 pounds is crazy in boxing. Don't let Ryan trick y'all. His ass. Just let Dev drain himself so he could come and feel good. Yeah, I'm here. He said that to Trina. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of boxing's in a great place. Boxing's awesome right now. You know, we had a lull to end the season last year, but we had a banger last year. But you know why? It was PBC, so that doesn't count, I guess. We're in a great state, dude. We're in a great state. But last year was awesome, too. We've had a nice run here. 2025, Ryan versus Errol in the first ever loser pays the trainer match. It's kind of funny. Bernard Hopkins, this is on the spit bucket. Bernard Hopkins says Devin Haney will never be the same after his fight with Ryan Garcia. Hopkins went on to compare Haney's defeat to Melvin Taylor's, lost to Julio Cesar Chavez. Interesting. Floyd Mayweather. A lot of times what these fighters are looking at, they're looking at Floyd with the cars, looking at Floyd being flashy. Man, listen, I made so many sacrifices. You were looking at the end results. And when I was a champion, having hundreds of millions in the bank, I was still in the grind. Y'all worried about your outfits and your boots look and how your boots look. Worried about the wrong things. A lot of you fighters are living check to check. J-Bro said it's a lot of these fighters are overpaid, absolutely. Every time fighters go out, they're risking their life. So do they deserve to get the money? Absolutely. Do I contradict myself? Absolutely. I just did. That is funny. Fred makes a point here. I could at least respect Kinahan for putting in work to becoming a functioning murderous drug cartel money launderer operator. This turkey scumbag was just a thug who was best pals. Yeah, yeah. Talking about Nepto Baby who liked to butcher people, allegedly. That's his tweet. But, yeah, this guy's not, he doesn't have a great track record. Let's put it that way. God, this is a message to me. Well, that was expected in my mind. CA versus Mugia is not hitting the pay-per-view numbers Prime wants. DAZN, I guess, have a higher pay-per-view ticket sold for this fight, as I think. The PBC are in deep shit. They need DAZN and Haven to get that. What? First of all, a pay-per-view tickets, what is this like? Talking about like in Vegas when you do the closed circuit or something. But yeah, he said that DAZN has a higher pay-per-view ticket sold for the fight. Like, we don't know any of that, dude. What are you fucking talking about, man? I wonder if people realize Turki Al-Sheikh model is pretty much the same as PBC, incorporate fighters who are from various promoters and events without forcing them to binding contracts and exclusivity deal. Oh, this isn't Fred. This is Paul, my bad. Paul Magno. He also says it's like the hillbillies loving Affordable Health Care Act but hating Obamacare. That's funny. Oh, yeah, Rye says, so is Tim Zoo being set up for Virgil Ortiz, or is that now different? Yeah, because remember they were saying he's setting them up. He said it's all a setup, dude. They're going to fuck him, dude. That was the big thing. Remy says, sounds like AJ Eddie Hearn request. Why every time AJ Wilder, possibly a fucking smokescreen, comes out of nowhere? Fuck what you rate either. This shit is a pattern. Ignoring it. Yeah. Thing is, it's like this last time, you know, that's Andre Bonzo because he lost the fight. Yeah. So I like Alvarez by decision, like I mentioned. Am I eyeballing the +180 something I saw for knockout? Yeah, I am. I don't have the pay-per-view numbers. People keep asking. I don't think that they're 1.5 million. If they knew they were 1.5 million, I would say that they would have a press release. You know, because one of the promoters, like I said, is saying, we don't know the numbers yet, but then, you know, someone else is saying, I made 50 million, you know. So it's kind of like, well, which one is it, dude? How do you know? How do you know then, you know? So anyway, let's see here. Oh, okay. So someone was saying that of course, I'm ducking it, right? I'm ducking the platform value article. So there was an article about the value of all the MMA and all the boxing platforms, right? And they literally, here's the thing, they literally took it from press releases. This is Forbes, who does kind of sketchy stuff sometimes as far as financially. If you look at the original press releases out of all these deals over the years, they just used that and put it in there. And so, oh, Matchroom's this, you know, Top Rank's this, you know, all that stuff. Okay, but the thing is, like when they said, what was it, 90 million? Someone said that to me. Whoever just said that to me. Was it 90 million was the PBC or 80 million a year? They made, you know, they had a revenue of $100 million in that event. First of all, the PBC is not a promoter, right? So let's straighten that out. TGB is not on the list, but it's they're the promoter in that thing. So when you had a $100 million event, and then you had probably about $130 to $150 million between Spence Crawford and Canelo Charlo, how could it be under $100 million that they're making per year? They literally, that's their budget that was reported. All that stuff is reported. Everybody doesn't have the same budget now. Now, when you do a fight with Saudi, that helps your budget, right? But I'm saying overall, I mean, Eddie's even said that they don't have the same budget as when they open with the zone, right? We've seen Fox, after COVID, cut the budget for PBC. We know ESPN cut the budget for Top Rank. They're not doing as many cards here in the U.S. as much as that press release said they were going to. Now, we've been saying how solid Top Rank and ESPN, and especially that ESPN Plus, getting all those overseas fights and all that. We've been giving them credit, a lot of it. But that's just not real. It's just a list, you know. It's a press release. They're looking at the press releases, copy paste, because that's how I know. Because I just named the three events. You're talking about well over $200 million. how could they only bring it in less than $100 million a year when they did just in three events, like $225, maybe $250 million? That's what I think of that. That's what I think of that article. I wasn't ducking anything. It just, there's nothing to duck because it wasn't a good article. So you're right, I did forget to talk about it. I'll give you that. But I wasn't ducking it. It's not. It's what they call fake news. You know, it's not real. So that's really what it was about. You know, if anybody wants to join in that's on right now, go ahead and press 1. Other than that, I think I'm going to kind of shut her down, that type of thing. All right. So, anyway, like I said, Canelo, by decision, message me. Whether, if I know you, text message, whatever, message me on Twitter. For those who have my email and stuff, it's out there. Do you think Canelo's going to get upset? Okay. Talk to me about it. Why? And a lot of people just assume he can't knock him out. Like I said, I already got a bet in on the decision. I got a good number, good minus number. But I am, just a reminder, I am kind of eyeballing that TKO. Definitely eyeballing that TKO. So I think it's possible, but I call it a TKO because I just think it'll be so many freaking flush shots. But Munguia has shown he got a pretty good chin. Now, he hasn't fought a fighter like this, though. You know, so that is different. That is different. And no, I don't have a big, someone followed up the Jared Anderson stuff with Wilder. It's a turnaround. And when you're older, the quick turnaround is just not as easy as you think it is. Staying sharp, fighting in mid to late September, that would be better than early August when you just fought in June. But like I said, maybe he has a short night and he can take 10 days off or something and then get back in camp and it doesn't bug him and he has a shorter camp. A lot of heavyweights seem like they have, like, 12-week camps. But Wilder and Joshua definitely have, like, 10 to 12-week camps. They like to have that anyway. So I'm not trying to use it as an excuse, right? But I'm also like, well, weren't we supposed to get AJ next if he wins? Which, that's not happening now. So that's my whole thing with the Jared Anderson thing. It's not that, Jared Anderson, Wilder, if Wilder signs up for it, then it's happening. He's got to get past Zhang, though. Let's not forget that. You know? Neither of them look good on their last outing, but especially Wilder. So he's got his work cut out for him. But, yeah, if he takes that fight, more power to him, right? Definitely more power to him. And it's a big, big fight for Jared Anderson because no matter what, no matter where he's at in his career, Wilder's name, especially here, so that would be big. That would be big. And that card would be – how long is that card going to be? That's going to be a crazy card. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights. God, I almost forgot. How in the world did I almost forget about that? I mentioned it earlier, for me, it's kind of like, okay, is he finally not going to knock somebody out? Because it's been like, it'd have to be the Dornier fight, right? The first one? I think that's the last time he didn't knock somebody out. You saw how the rematch went there. And then dating back there, I think it was Carmona, right? I remember going over this. Let me look. Mary got stopped by Figueroa. I just think the clean punch. It could be fun, though. Could be fun. But anyway, he's going to knock him out. Yeah, I was right about that. 2019. So, post-COVID, he's been knocking people out. You have to go back to 2016 before, you know, it's one fighter going the distance. So, yeah, I think he's going to knock him out. That's not really a big stretch, right? But we'll definitely be back talking about that. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Every time, you know, Inoue is just so talented that, you know, I just like watching him fight, dude. And so he's always, even if he's going to dominate someone, it's like, dude, I'm all here for it, you know. But anyway, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, because you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, or the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it.